Own how much? 15%?
Right on the nose, Dan thought. Just about 15, yes.
Okay. I'll buy 15%. You can take it out of your own shares. I'll pay $1.5 billion. That ought to raise the value of your stock quite a bit.
I'd rather have a loan. Garrison shook his head. Yamagata's already offered me a loan. The old man's eyes snapped.
You don't want to be taking money from the Japs, son. They're out to cut your throat.
Dan admitted. Yamagata wasn't happy when I started the project. He sees it as competition for his own interests. Waggling a bony finger under Dan's nose, Garrison said,
If you're worried about somebody muscling you out of your company, worry about the Japs, not me.
The two men talked for more than an hour without coming to an agreement. Dan promised to think about Garrison's offer of buying into Astro Corporation. I'll talk to some of my key board members about it, he said.
You do that, said Garrison. And remember, the clock's ticking. You're looking at the edge of a cliff, son.
Don't I know it, Dan said. Once Dan left, escorted again by the brunette, Garrison muttered to himself,
Got to turn up the screws on that boy. He's too damn stubborn for his own good.
Matagorda Island, Texas. Later that afternoon, Joe Tenney hustled along the catwalk from his office to Dan's. He burst through the door to the outer office, startling Dan's executive assistant.
Gotta see the boss, Tenney said.
April quickly regained her poise.
He's in Houston, seeing Mr. Garrison.
When's he due back?
She shrugged her slim shoulders.
Later tonight.
Get him on a cell phone, will you?
Tenney said as he strode into Dan's private office. For a moment, April looked as if she wanted to stop him, but instead she turned to her desktop computer and pecked out a command. Tenney slid into Dan's desk chair. The display screen lit up to show Dan's face. Before Tenney could speak a word, Dan's image said, I'm not available at the moment. Leave a message and a number where I can get back to you. Fuming impatiently, Tenney said into the screen, Boss, I think I got an angle on who's the skunk in the woodworks. I tracked down the people who had access to the command codes and the ground track. Call me on my cell right away.
His message finished. Tenney jumped up from the chair and headed out of the office.
As he breezed past April once again, he said, If Dan calls in, transfer it to my cell phone. Top priority.
Yes, Dr. Tenney, April said in a hushed voice.
Tenney always rattled her, and this day was worse than any previous. 9 o'clock and still no word from Dan, Tenney groused to himself as he paced the catwalk around the hangar. He glanced over the railing at the wreckage sprawled across the hangar's concrete floor. He had called Dan 4 times since he'd barged into the boss's office earlier in the afternoon. All he'd gotten was that shit-brained automatic message. What good is having a friggin' cell phone if you keep it turned off all the time?
All right, Tenney admitted to himself. Dan wouldn't want the phone bothering him while he's meeting with Garrison. But he ought to be flying back by now. He's probably still got the friggin' phone off while he's flying the stagger wing.
Tough enough flying that clunker at night without phone calls interrupting your concentration, he reluctantly acknowledged.
I can't just stand around here waiting, Tenney complained silently.
He yanked his own cell phone out of his shirt pocket to make sure it was on and functioning.
Okay, he thought as he stuffed it back into his pocket. No sense sitting here with my thumbs up my butt.
He started down the steel steps, his boots clattering, echoing in the darkened hangar. At the bottom he stopped and stared out at the wreckage of the spaceplane.
Dirty, shit-eating sons of bitches, he growled inwardly. They did this deliberately. They destroyed the plane and killed Hannah. Deliberately. In cold blood.
Must have taken them months to plan it out and get everything set. Friggin' murderers. Striding toward his shiny black, chrome-trimmed Silverado parked outside the hangar, Tenney pulled the phone out of his pocket again and pecked out the number for the motel where Passo was staying. An automated answering voice asked him for the name of the guest he was trying to reach.
Passo! Tenney snapped.
Then he spelled it. The phone beeped 4 times. 5. The person you are trying to reach is not answering the phone. If you would like to leave a voicemail message, press 1. Tenney thumbed the keypad. When the automated voice gave him the cue, he said, "Claude, it's Joe Tenney. I've got proof that the bird was sabotaged, and I know who did it. Call me as soon as you get this message." Fuming about people who didn't answer their goddamned phones, Tenney opened the door to his Silverado and climbed up into the driver's seat. He turned on the ignition, and the engine growled to life. Then he saw the orange warning on the dashboard fuel gauge. Near empty, he asked himself. Couldn't be. I filled the tank yesterday, and I haven't gone anywhere except from here to home and back. Nettled, worried that the hydrogen tank might be leaking, he put the truck in gear and headed through the night for the hydrogen storage facility on the other side of the airstrip. The Astro base was dark, except for pale lamps spaced along the roadways that connected the various buildings. Glancing out his side window, Tenney saw that the clouds that had been piling up since late afternoon had blotted out the stars. Dan's gonna have to land at the commercial airport, he thought. It's gonna be pouring rain here pretty soon. The damn fuel tank shouldn't be leaking, he fumed as he drove across the base. The hydrogen bonds to the metal chips in the tank, nice and solid. Maybe some of it baked out of the chips, though. The pickup's been sitting out in the sun all day. Hydrogen gas leaks out the tank's cap, he knew. Sneaky stuff in its gaseous phase. Seeps through almost any kind of seal. He shrugged. No real danger. Hydrogen gas just floats up into the air. Doesn't drip and spread and make puddles like gasoline would. Still, Dan insisted that the hydrogen facility had to be stuck out in the middle of no place, worried it might blow up like the old Hindenburg. No matter how I tell him the stuff is safe, he still worries about hydrogen. Him and everybody else. NASA's been using liquid hydrogen for rocket engines for more than 50 friggin' years, and people are still scared of the stuff. Shaking his head at human obstinacy, Tenney pulled to a stop at the wire fence that surrounded the hydrogen facility. In the darkness, he groped in the glove compartment for the automatic door opener, clicked it once, and the gate rattled open on its metal wheels. He drove in, past the low building that housed the electrolysis equipment that separated water into hydrogen and oxygen, and pulled up next to the huge spherical hydrogen tank. Bigger than a two-story house, the tank dwarfed Tenney's Silverado. Both it and the smaller oxygen tank next to it had enormous no-smoking signs painted across their curving flanks in day-glow red. Tenney climbed down from the truck, grumbling to himself that he would have to check the fuel tank in the morning. Not at the house, though, he decided. I'll drive back out here and park it in the far corner of the parking lot. Maybe I'll have to build a carport to protect the truck from the sun. Who's there? Tenney jerked with surprise at the sound of a man's voice. Then he saw one of the uniformed security guards walking up to him. Big guy. His shirt stretched, too small for his muscular frame. It's okay, he told the rent-a-cop, fishing his ID badge from a shirt pocket. I work here. The guard flashed his light on the card, then into Tenney's face. Tenney squinted, frowned. Okay, Mr. Tenney, just doing my job. Yeah, fine. But get the light out of my eyes. Yes, sir. The light winked out. Blinking, waiting for his night vision to return, Tenney stepped around his pickup to find the fuel hose. The big hydrogen tank held liquefied hydrogen, cooled to more than 400 degrees below zero. To power his truck, Tenney had built a small assembly that tapped liquid hydrogen from the tank, allowed it to warm to a gas, and then pumped the gas into his pickup's tank. I didn't know you guys were patrolling out here, Tenney said as he peered at the dimly lit gauges in the darkness. The boss thought we ought to check the facility every shift since the accident, said the guard. Overreacting, Tenney thought. Scared of hydrogen. Shit, this facility's as safe as the file cabinets in Dan's office. He found the fuel hose as his eyes readjusted to the darkness of the cloudy night. As he turned back to his truck, the guard smashed the butt of his pistol into Tenney's head, knocking him unconscious. He sprawled on the ground, the hose still gripped in his right hand. Swiftly, the guard unlatched the safety valve on the hose. Invisible, odorless hydrogen gas began pouring out of it. The guard could hear the pump chugging behind him. He ran out to the wire fence at the hydrogen facility's perimeter, dashed through the gate and raced to his own car, parked up the road. Ducking in behind the steering wheel,
He popped the glove compartment and pulled out a small, flat